Want to thank our praise team for leading us this morning. And I remember a couple of weeks ago when Olin left, somebody put out a call, said we need to get another guitar player in the praise team. And here's Erica with all that she's got going on. Mother of two, teacher, she and Heath are business owners. And here she is playing in the praise team for us. So we thank you. We thank the Lord for her energy, and that's a witness for us, isn't it? When we say, "Well, we're too busy, we can't do this or that or the other," and praise God for that. So we're reading this morning from 1 Peter, the third chapter, beginning with verse 13. Now, this passage of Scripture talks about suffering. And I realized, you know, as I looked at this passage of Scripture, I realized that the kind of suffering that we go through many times is not quite like what Jesus did. You know, when we sing Lord of the Dance, you know, we say he beat me down and they lifted me up on high. And we say, I am the life and that'll never die. And so we know what Christ went through. But suffering can mean many different things to different people, can it? It just depends. It depends, I think, on many times on where we are in life. It depends on our mental state. It can depend on our physical state. It can depend on the challenges that we are going through and what is happening, you know, in that moment in time. And so let's hear these words now from 1 Peter, beginning with verse 13. And Peter, of course, is writing to the church, trying to encourage the Christian brothers and sisters because they have given their life to Christ. And they're trying to live out Christ's ways, Christ's character in their lives. And they're getting some pushback, modern term, right? Pushback. They're getting some pushback from it. And so they're struggling. And just like we all do from time to time. And we need a word of encouragement. Sometimes that word of encouragement can come from anywhere at any time. And you're just one little word sometimes. One little sentence, one little smile from somebody. Just acknowledging what we're going through and putting us in a positive state of mind can be so helpful, can't it? So let's hear these words. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through the water. There's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, for the removal of the filth of the flesh, not for the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and who is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. I always loved that last verse. You know, that's a verse that has encouraged me over the years, that Jesus is at the right hand of God. And then we are told that all of these things are subject to Christ. Let us pray. God, again, your word has gone forth. As it enters our minds and our souls, as it mingles with our spirit, Lord, may it move in us in a powerful and magnificent way that it has not in the past when we hear it. Lord, so that we will know we have been in your presence today. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody once said these words, life is hard, and then you die. Life is hard, and then you die. I've heard that phrase before. And as I said earlier, every one of us in here face hardship, have faced it. Maybe you're facing it down, some kind of hardship, but the fact is you will face it sometime in the future. As Christian believers, as those who are called to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we too, just because we are Christians and we've heard this word, it doesn't mean that we are exempt from the challenges of life, does it? It doesn't mean that at all. As a matter of fact, it probably can be said that because we are Christians and we're not trying to fit into a world, but try to be different, trying to set our lives to be as examples of following Christ, we can probably say that because we are different, because we, Jesus says, sanctify, or Peter says, sanctify the Lord in your hearts, which means set aside your heart to follow Jesus Christ. Set yourself apart. When we set ourselves apart, you are automatically making yourself vulnerable. Because we live in a time and place where very few people want to be set apart. Very few people don't want the attention to come to them. We want to mingle with a group. We want to be a part of the herd, so to say. We call it that herd mentality. And you know what happens when you get in the herd mentality sometimes? Well, if you follow the herd, you can follow the herd right off the cliff, and it can hurt you. Or follow the herd into a place that it breeds danger for the herd. And so we know that just because we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, just because we're members of the church and we've been members a long time, just because God loves us and cares about us, does not mean that no hardships will come, does not mean that no harm will come to you and me or to any members of our families. But if we want to be Christians, true Christians, and follow Christ's purpose for you and me in this life, there's no guarantee that we will not face times of trial. Now, we're not going to, we know the kind of trials that Jesus went through. We know the kind of trials that disciples went through. We know the kind of trials that martyrs have gone through. And even today, in today's world, we still read about Christian men and women who are being martyrs for Jesus Christ and for God in many places all over the world. Many missionaries continue to give their lives for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet, as we go through these trials and these hardships and these persecutions, if that's what you want to call them, we know. The scripture says, and Peter says to those Christians, we are not alone. We are not alone. We have a resource. You know, we talk about resources all the time. We talk about resourcing people. That when we resource people, we empower people. and that if we can provide resources for people that will help them face whatever job or specific thing that they have to do, as long as they have the resources to do it. Well, Jesus Christ is your resource and my resource. Why? Because he's gone through that suffering. He's gone through that hardship. He's faced those trials. He has faced those difficulties in ways that none of us in here will probably ever, ever face it. And so, you know, we live in a world where our trials and hardships, our tough challenges and our troubles are on a smaller scale than when we compare it to what Christ or the martyrs go through. But nevertheless, when it is happening to you and me, it is no small thing, is it? It is no small thing when we are going through it. Whatever it is, that difficulty or challenge can consume your life and my life. And, you know, those things happen sometimes when we're not expecting it. When those things happen sometimes when we're not ready for it. When we're not prepared for it. You know, some things we can get prepared for it, and when we are prepared for it, the impact is not quite as bad, is it? Because we have the resources to kind of handle it, right? You know, maybe as I share with the children, and you know, I'm a big Dave Ramsey fan. Dave Ramsey is a financial expert. Dave Ramsey says you should always have an emergency fund. That's a resource. So when, you know, some financial challenge comes to you during the week, you have the money or the resources to take care of it. Now, some people are not always that fortunate. And because of one reason or another, they've had so many of these challenges that it's taken all their resources. And that puts them in a greater challenge, doesn't it? But the fact is that having Jesus Christ as your resource and my resource, we can face the challenges and the difficulties of life. And that's what Peter is saying to the Christians. This is I call this a memo. It's a note of encouragement. It's a letter of encouragement, you know, to these Christians who are just fighting the most difficult of circumstances, all because they are Christians. Not because they've done anything wrong, or at least I don't get that from this. Do you? Not because they've done anything wrong, but because they are believers in Christ, and they are acting out. They are living that life. And apparently, it is having an impact, or they wouldn't be harassing them. So, you know, most of our trials and difficulties today come from people harassing us. And, you know, but, you know, we with the internet now, and you know, we hear about this bullying in school and those kinds of things. Harassment can come in many different ways. And that, those kinds of trials wreak havoc upon the lives of young people. And it can wreak havoc upon your life and mine. There's a story told of an accountant. His name was Jim. Jim was working in the Southeast. He was a committed Christian. He was, CPA was an auditor at his place of business. He was a very confident and competent young man. And when he would do the audits of this real estate business, you know, he did it in such a way so that the investors in this real estate business, he did it in such a way that he knew that they could count on him to do the best audit possible and to keep them informed. One time Jim was doing the audit of the company's books, and he realized, you know, we heard this word over the last few years since 2008. He realized that some of the folks that were running the company were cooking the books, that's what we say. Those folks were manipulating numbers, trying to deceive the investors of this company. Well, Jim realized what was going on. Now, he could have gone along with the program. He could have said, well, it is not me. You know, it is the bosses over me. It's not going to affect me that much. I want to keep my job, you know. I've got a house to pay for. I've got kids in school. I've got college. I've got a car bill. I've got this and that and the other. I want to maintain my job. And if I bring this up to someone, it might cost me. So he brought it up to a supervisor, and his supervisor said to him, Jim, you better keep your mouth shut. He said, if I was you, you know, anybody ever said that? If I was you, I don't believe I'd say anything to anybody. Why are they saying that? Because they know that if you tell the truth, it's going to hurt you in this situation. Jim didn't let that bother him. He still took this particular problem to his supervisors and to those executives who were running the company. And they responded by him to saying, look, if you want to keep your job, you cannot say anything about it. You cannot be honest about what you have reported on. Well, Jim had to make a decision. Even though he had all these bills and he had, you know, family and he had all these things, he had to make a decision. Did he believe in what he lived as a Christian? Did he believe in being honest? Did he believe in treating other people's resources as good as his own and looking out for them as a member of this company? Or was he going to live a life of deception? That can be a challenge sometimes, can't it? How do we make an ethical decision when we're in the midst of all this stuff that's going on around us? Jim chose to leave the company. Start all over again. But the good news is that he landed on his feet. He was able to do. God was with him. But because he was honest, because he had integrity, because he didn't let the harassment of his company executives and those folks move him to do something that he would regret, and I'm sure the rest of them probably regretted at some point in time down the road. He was blessed by God. Peter's saying to those Christians there in the church, and he's writing to you and me today. When we go through suffering, and when we are feeling that on our lives, God, I know we don't like to hear this, but God has a purpose in it. Let's look at Jesus suffering. Because he suffered, because he died, because he went to the cross, because he shed his blood. What was the ultimate result of that suffering, of that difficulty, of that abuse? What was the ultimate purpose? Life. Forgiveness. Grace, mercy, love, all of those things that you could mention are accessible now to all of humanity. They are accessible to you and me because of one person, the Son of the living God, out of love, was willing to go through all that heartache and pain and bloodshedding and abuse for you and for me. So I think what Peter is saying in a nice way, and he is doing it in a nice way, you haven't suffered like Christ has suffered. But if you're feeling it, and you're going through it, then you can endure it. Because your foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the reason you can endure it, his resurrection was so powerful, and his grace and forgiveness was so overwhelming, that Peter says, he went to hell. And then what it says? He went to the prison and hell to those who were not saved before the ark, before the flood. That's how powerful this Christ is whom you and I serve. That's how powerful a resource we can have in our souls and in our spirits and in our minds and hearts today. That's how powerful it is that it went to the gates of hell. It says to bring hope and life to those who were disobedient before. Only Jesus could do that. Only the Christ could do that. Only one who suffered and died for you and me could do that. That is pretty powerful. And all of us have those challenges. I faced them over the last couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. When, you know, circumstances in the church and with the bishop and those were going to move me to another place in my life. We've lived in parsonages all our lives. God is in the church, has taken care of us in a powerful and mighty way all of our lives. Because our ultimate purpose and aim was to serve God. At least that's what that was the call I had on my life 30 years ago. And I believed it. And I followed it. And then all of a sudden, I got to find a new place to live. Not only that, but it looks like I might have a daughter and son-in-law with 2 babies that are going to need a place to live. And probably have another daughter living with us. But that's okay because she's working. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, I've told some of the folks here, that for 30 years, I go to bed at night and I sleep. There's a peace in my soul. And I'd wake up the next morning, and it wasn't, and I'd wake up and I would think, I need more sleep. I was tired. For the last couple weeks, I'd wake up about 4, 4:30 in the morning, and these things were going through my mind. What I got to do, what I got to get, this I got to sign, and that I got to do, and here, blah, 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 blah. And I had to say, well, God, you've taken care of me and a family, all these, I know you will do it now. But it was hard. It was difficult for me, even as the pastor. Because all of a sudden, I don't know what you'd call that suffering. Well, I was suffering internally. How's that? So we can suffer in many different ways, can't we? And ultimately, I realize, well, God, you have been my resource all of these years. And because you have done that, I can count on you now. I can trust you now. I can believe you now. Your word is still fresh. Your word is still real. The gospel is still good news then when Peter spoke to those Christians, and it is now and it will be in the future. Why? Because Jesus Christ has gone ahead of us. To hell and back is what Peter says. That is powerful. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know this Jesus? Is he truly the resource and mechanism that powers your life? Because, see, we live in a world and time when sometimes we let these other things power us and guide us and move us. And those things can fail. They can fail. And probably will fail you. But when our resource is Jesus, we have the fountain of life. That's the scriptures that flows to overflowing. And then the second question, if you don't know this Jesus, you need to know him. And you can invite him in today. And then the second question I want to ask you is, what are you going through right now? What kind of harassment? What kind of suffering? What kind of difficulties? And we talked about trouble last week, but this is different. And who are you relying on to get through it? Mom and dad? Maybe you have a rich uncle or aunt somewhere? Your spouse? Pastor, the church, who are you relying on to move you through this? It better be Jesus and his spirit and power and presence. Let us pray. Lord God, the scriptures tell us you know the hearts that are being challenged by life. God, we want you to be that ultimate resource in our life. We want you to be that presence and that entity that moves us, that guides us, that focuses our life in everything that we do. And when that happens, when we are focused on you, Lord, we can go through the suffering. We can go through the harassment. We can go through the difficulties. Because of what you have done and continue to do for us. Lord, I pray if there's one here who does not know you as that resource, may they open their hearts to you today. I pray for those of us who are going through the difficulties of life to challenge us. God, that you would touch our lives with the fountain that overflows. to life eternal. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.